Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I now accept the facts that are stated in this report. I believed I was wrong. I believed that all responses were to appropriate media inquiries. That was not the case. Now we know better and we will act upon it.
The sheriff of Wall Street is now the butt of jokes in Albany. Elliot Spitzer being compared to Richard Nixon today for the finding of abuse of power, abuse of the state police, by Spitzer's office to dig up dirt on a political rival, Senate Majority Leader Joe Bruno. Though we should add that the report by Attorney General Andrew Cuomo found no laws were broken, and at least so far no evidence that Spitzer himself knew what had taken place, as the governor just indicated in that clip. With us now to talk about the implications of this spectacle for both politics and policy is Liz Benjamin, political columnist for the Daily News, who used to be an Albany reporter for the Times Union up there, so she's well experienced on this beat. And Liz, welcome back to WNYC.
Glad to be here.
You know, I want to jump right into the policy implications here. I gather that the deal reached between Spitzer and Bruno last week on campaign finance reform is now in jeopardy as a result of this report. Is that correct?
Well, there's no legislation for that deal. The legislature is coming back to Albany on Thursday for the sole purpose of dealing with the compromise reached on congestion pricing, which is actually not really about congestion pricing, but about congestion mitigation efforts that will be studied by a commission.
Including the possibility of pricing as one of those mitigation techniques.
Correct, correct. But it certainly is not by any means a certainty that people will have to pay to drive into Manhattan.
Right. But the campaign finance deal that's part of that, that would limit money into the political system compared to the past, that was, you know, there was really a three-part deal, wasn't it? It had to do with congestion pricing, the report to study it. It had to do with this campaign finance reform, and it had to do with a pay raise for the legislators and the judges. So is that all going to fall apart now?
Well, it depends. First of all, it depends on who you ask as to what exactly the deal entailed, which is, of course, is never a good sign for any deal if the people who are engaged in the deal can't agree on what the deal was.
What's another version of it than the one I just gave?
Well, basically, it was pay raises were not specifically addressed in the deal, although the governor had in the past made it clear that if campaign finance reform and other reform efforts were approved, then he would consider pay raises. And for judges, it would be immediate. For lawmakers, it would be a commission, much like the New York City, the way things work in New York City at this moment. So that was never officially on the table, although unofficially it was on the table. It was campaign finance reform, it was congestion pricing, and then depending on who you asked, it was capital funding for economic development and higher education projects, there was another one, a fourth one, property tax rebates.
That's a big one.
Well, that's for senior citizens who were quote-unquote left out, which was of other property tax rebates that were passed as part of the budget. This was a priority for the Senate Republicans. And, of course, now this scandal sort of calls into question what the Senate Republicans are going to be willing to do with the governor when they feel like they are exonerated in their belief that they were, in fact, targets, specifically Joe Bruno was a target, and that they don't trust him.
Here is another clip of the governor from his appearance yesterday talking about what his administration stands for.
My administration, I believe, stands for, will continue to stand for, ethics, integrity. We will be measured not only by the inevitable errors that are made, but more importantly, how we respond to those errors.
So, oh my goodness, Liz, talk about egg on somebody's face. I mean, his whole reputation was that he was going to come in as the ethics police.
Right. I mean, it's very difficult to come back from something like this. It's difficult to talk about how he might come back from something like this since we've never really seen it before. But you also have a situation where he hopes, of course, that by excising the problem or appearing to do so, cutting out two people, but not firing them outright, actually, at least not at this moment, And then moving forward and sort of going to Buffalo today to talk about other issues, economic development, et cetera, that he will be able to move on. Of course, the Senate Republicans will not let him move on. That's their plan, because he publicly stated that he wanted to get rid of them. I mean, he made no bones about the fact that he wanted the Senate Democrats to take over the chamber.
That's the underlying piece of the politics
right.
here, right? The Senate, the Republican majority in the Senate is a little bit shaky. It's been dwindling in recent years as the state goes more Democratic in general. Joe Bruno wants to hold on to it. Spitzer was trying to dig up dirt on Spitzer says his people were trying to dig up dirt on Bruno so he would get more discredited, so more Democrats would get elected to the Senate and take the majority.
Right. That's correct. I mean, no one, well, I shouldn't say no one. It's difficult for people to believe that the governor didn't know about this. I think that that is sort of the question, and when you bring up the whole Nixon connection and what did he know and when did he know it, that mm-hmm. sort of whole line of questioning, if your top people are engaged in something that is this involved of an effort, it's difficult to think that you didn't know it, and if at the very least you didn't have a hand in creating the culture in which the atmosphere in which this sort of effort is possible and condoned.
Right. And I'm thinking about how that gets brought up with respect to Abu Ghraib, even, right? Whether, the attorney general knew about it. Maybe they laid the conditions for people to think that it was okay to interrogate in that way, and all these kinds of things.
Well, the governor, I mean, ultimately he says he takes responsibility, and it is true that you set the tone as the leader of any organization of the state, as the top elected official in the state. You make it clear that you're going to be an aggressive, take-no-prisoners guy. That's what this governor did. He came in and made it clear that he considered himself a steamroller, and certainly that's been well-documented, and he didn't apologize for his aggressiveness and actually celebrated it in a recent New York Magazine cover story where he talked about, you know, the importance of being on the playing field and everybody plays as hard as they can, and then you get off and shake hands and go back to your respective corners. I don't think that he miscalculated in terms of the power of the legislature. He got stymied by the assembly in the state comptroller battle. He's getting stymied here by the Senate Republicans and Joe Bruno. The legislature is a duly elected body, and it's difficult to sideline the legislature, and particularly the two elected leaders who are duly elected by not only their members but also their own constituents and have been around for 12 years in their leadership positions. These guys are not neophytes.
Liz Benjamin, Daily News political columnist, my guest on WNYC. Liz, let me try to clarify something here that I'm a little confused about, and that is that the report by the state attorney general, Andrew Cuomo, found that no laws were broken.
Correct.
Now, one would think that if there was really meaningful abuse of power, because that's the phrase that's being thrown around, it was abuse of power by Spitzer's people to use the state police to dig up dirt on Joe Bruno and the way he was using state-funded travel in order to hand over that information to reporters to embarrass Bruno and discredit him. If there's an abuse of power that takes place, why is there no crime?
Okay, that's a difficult question, and since I'm not a lawyer, it's hard for me to answer it. The DA of Albany County was, in fact, involved, although, and that's a kind of unusual point. Yesterday, the district attorney, David Soares, his office put out a statement saying that they concurred with Cuomo's findings that Bruno did nothing wrong. He didn't break any laws in his use of state helicopters, because as you'll recall, that's how this whole flap got started,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
The alleged misuse of state helicopters by the majority leader for non-state related business, but for political purposes.
So the same report by the attorney general yesterday cleared Bruno of that.
Correct. But at the same time saying that the rules about uses of state planes are very fuzzy and need to be clarified, et cetera, which I think no one would argue with. I mean, they're pretty gray. So then the district attorney went on to say, or his office went on to say, that they weren't involved in the probe of Elliot Spitzer's alleged misuse of power, despite the fact that they had been requested to look into that by the majority leader. There were so many requests for probes and investigations flying back and forth, it was a little difficult to keep track of who wanted who investigated and for what. And there were a number of different entities, including the Inspector General, who, of course, is appointed by the executive. And so there's not a lot of credence given in that case.
But I guess at least at the moment, the line appears to be that if a governor takes the state police and uses it for a private partisan political investigation against one of his political rivals, that that is somehow not against the law.
Well, there's no smoking gun, right? You have to be careful. The governor, did the governor ask for this to be done?
Well, we know that at least Darren Dopp, his communications director, apparently asked for this to be done. No?
Correct.
Yes.
At the very least, that's what we know, right? The state police is also an executive agency, so you have so many different issues coming into play here. I mean, Preston Felton, if you read the report, and he's the acting superintendent of the state police, indicated that he, if someone from the second floor calls you and says, hey, I want you to do this, you don't ask a whole lot of questions because you recognize who, you know,
your boss is.
You
report to the governor. And I guess if you're the acting head of the state police and you're hoping to become the permanent head of the state police,
you feel yourself in a particularly tenuous situation, I'm sure.
Yeah. So Andrew Cuomo, this is his report. Is he a straight shooter in this, or are there politics here too, since he himself has aspirations to be governor, and maybe he would like to take Elliot Spitzer down a peg?
Well, the only thing I can say about that, which I also wrote in the paper today, is that the release of this report from a standpoint of timing is not fantastic for the governor. So the attorney general, had he really wanted to do the governor a favor, would have released this on Friday at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Because that's when, you know, reporters are winding things down.
It's the famous end of the week. The Bush administration, as many presidential administrations before it, is famous for this. The document drop on Friday afternoon so that it hits the Saturday papers. And hopefully by the time anybody asks about it on Monday, when people are paying attention again, they can say, oh, that's old.
Right. Something else might have occurred in the interim that would have blown this off the front page, or, you know, anything could have happened, really. And, of course, readership on Saturday is the lowest in the week. Sunday is a different matter.
So you think Cuomo is turning the screws here with the Monday release?
Yeah, I think it's possible. I mean, I can't say for certain whether that's premeditated. I mean, perhaps they just couldn't put the final touches on a report. This report was done awfully quickly. I mean, it was certainly a high priority, and it came out very quickly. We've seen an extremely rapid turnaround for this whole situation. It's only a matter of weeks, not certainly a matter of months, and we've seen investigations in the past that could drag on and on and on. That's another interesting way that you can handle things like this, is that you could just sort of play it out and say, oh, we're investigating and we're talking to people and we're not done and we're not done and we're not done, and then, you know, drop it on a Friday at 5.
I know, and I'm shocked that it happened this quickly, came to a resolution and a report this quickly. These things usually do drag on for months.
Well, resolution, it might be a little bit premature to say that. I mean, certainly...
Well, resolution, at least in terms of a concrete accusation and now admission by the governor. He apologized.
He did, and
you know, and suspended these two people on his staff, that something improper took place here.
Well, he suspended one and relocated another, right? I mean, we're not, and whether that will be the end of this is also, in terms of the action that the governor takes, is it remains to be seen. He did not want to be pinned down yesterday as to whether Darren Dopp, the communications director, would be returning to work, and if he returned, in what capacity that would be, nor would he be pinned down as to where Bill Howard, who is the Deputy Secretary for Homeland Security and the person who was the liaison on the second floor of the Capitol between the governor's office and the state police, he's going to be reassigned, and where his next job might be was not something that the executive was ready to say. But certainly the Senate Republicans are now saying that they might open their own investigation through their investigations committee, which has subpoena power.
One more clip of the governor talking about how bad this is or not. Here he is.
There were absolutely no violations of law. There was no surveillance of Senator Bruno, but there were absolute improper judgment calls made, and there is no excuse for that.
So Governor Spitzer speaking yesterday, you accept that?
Well, to say that there was no surveillance depends on your definition of what surveillance is. You know, I mean, the governor is a lawyer, and you know, we really shouldn't forget that. He knows about speaking, the power of words, and he was choosing his words very carefully yesterday. First, he spoke during this press conference from where that clip comes. He was speaking from a prepared statement at first, which is not his general practice. Then he went off the statement and answered some questions. But he was careful. And surveillance, you know, brings to my mind, like, you know, people in cars who are spying and, you know, wiretaps and that kind of thing. What was going on was communications between the second floor and the state police about where the majority leader was going when he was in the state company of state police troopers and what he was using the helicopter for, what kind of events he was attending. Were they parked outside his house with, you know, little cameras? No, I mean, but what does surveillance mean? They were definitely keeping tabs on the guy, and there's just no bones about it.
I love that. We were keeping tabs on the guy, but we weren't surveilling him. All right, well, this is obviously not over. We will see where this develops, both at the political level, which is kind of funny, and at the policy level, which is kind of serious, with so much hanging in the breach here as a result, from campaign finance reform to congestion pricing studies to pay raises for the legislators.
Yeah, it just seems to me that it doesn't behoove anyone. I mean, the Senate Republicans could say, hey, we can't work with this guy. It's just not possible for us to do that because we don't trust him and his credibility is shot, et cetera.
But they can't. How much could they even do that? Because, I mean, he's elected for 4 years. They're elected till the next election at least. So they, you know, and there's state's business to be done. So how much could they even say that?
Right. Well, that's the point. To lock down everything because of this, at a certain point is just, you know, I guess at first you could say, oh, we don't want to talk about it and we don't want to do campaign finance reform. And because, again, campaign finance reform is tailored in the Senate Republicans' eyes to hamstring them and in their efforts to hold on to their majority. Now, it doesn't go into effect under the agreement that has yet to be passed.
Yeah.
It doesn't go into effect until 2009, which is after the elections that are key in the control of the Senate. That would be next November. But, you know, it doesn't behoove the people of the state or any elected official to just shut everything down because of an inability to work together and a trust issue. It's just, you could see the Senate Republicans would have a point to say, why should we do anything with this guy? He's clearly out to get us.
All right, we're going to have to leave it there. We will see. Liz Benjamin, Daily News, political columnist. Gosh, I thought things were supposed to get simpler in Albany when Elliot Spitzer came in.
Yeah, and quieter. I mean, here we are in July, and certainly
right?
No one's going on vacation.
Thanks a lot for joining us, Liz. Talk
Take
to
care.
You.